Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him, whosoever, one of the beautiful words of that scripture verse, because it doesn't matter where you come from, and it doesn't matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter what's been done to you. You see, nothing can separate you from the love of God that was revealed in Christ Jesus. Whosoever believes would not perish into eternity without God if you believe upon Him. Whosoever believes would not perish, but rather have everlasting life with God throughout eternity. I'll pray with you. Father, I pray that You, by Your Holy Spirit, would help each of us. Set aside every distraction, every hurdle, every pain, and open our inmost being, our heart, up to You. That You would just come in. Show Your saving power to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free from the things that we've done, said, or been done to us, that they can be washed away, and that, behold, a whole new life is opened up to us through faith in You. So may that happen today. For people in this room, people watching, people who see this later in the week, the service, that You would do the work of salvation and You would do the work of keeping power to keep us walking with You. So speak to our hearts. Give us ears that would be open. In the name of Jesus we pray, Father. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated if you'd like. How does this only begotten Son of God, who was sent, make His way to a cross? I mean, this is Jesus, the one who was full of grace and truth, Scripture says. The one who went about doing good. He wasn't so busy and too important to not have children come by Him. You know, that's in the Scripture. The kids wanted to go over by Jesus, and the adults tried to say, don't bother Him, He's too busy. And Jesus said, don't you do that. You let those kids come over by. I want you to know that you're very important. Loden, you're very important to Jesus. And He's never too busy for you. Okay? I want you to remember that. Especially those of you with little princess tiaras on. Very cute. You children, you're important to Jesus. All you big kids, Jesus went around doing good. He saw people broken and hurt. Corrupt people, people who were despised even by their own. And He went and took time to be with them. That's how he earned the title Friend of Sinners. See, all the pretentious and righteous people and self-righteous people, they didn't want to be associated with somebody of lesser morals or lesser class, at least on the outward. They wanted to look good. They wanted to look important. But Jesus just saw people. He knew their history. He knew their past. But he would come and sit down beside them anyhow. He would go up to people who were afflicted and sick and struggling. And he would look at them. And he'd say, "Your faith has made you whole." He'd go to others who he knew their past, and he would say, "Your sins are forgiven." You remember your past? Is there a little bit of sin back there? Back the trucks up, right? Yeah. He would speak words of life to them that changed them. Because maybe the words they've heard weren't so different than maybe some of the words you've heard in your life about what you can't be. Or what you couldn't accomplish. Or that you're not very smart. Or you'll never be all that pretty. Or you can't sing. Whatever you've been told. Jesus spoke words of life to people. Now it did include some tough teachings too. Can't ignore that. But he did it because he cared for us. He wants you saved. He wants me saved. And he knew we couldn't save ourselves because we got the trucks packed full of sin. But he came. But he said some tough things. He said things like this: anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. In other words, sin is your master. You keep submitting to the master of sin. And when you sin, you're a slave to sin. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way in Romans. He said, "Whatever or whoever you obey, you are a slave to. If it is sin, then you are a slave to sin." You know, today's a day where we distinctly remember that Jesus went to a cross to be crucified. How did a Jesus who did all these good things make his way to die like a criminal? You see, originally, crucifixion was for one very specific group of people when it originated. And it was for slaves. And here we just referred to us being slaves. See, this is the significance. Jesus came to take your place. He came to take my place. You see, that cross, that crucifixion, was designed. It was designed for me. The cross was designed for slaves, of which our master was sin. Jesus comes and he dies in our place. And he's innocent, and I'm guilty, and I get to go free. He's full of grace and truth. The crucifix, the cross, and of course, over time, it included other crimes where people would find themselves on a cross. It wasn't just for slaves anymore. It was for people who committed blasphemy or they bore false witness against their neighbor. Lying could get you there. I don't want to make you lie today. The crucifix was a Roman thing. You see, if you look back in the annals of Jewish or Hebrew history, crucifixion is not found in their penal code. We know when we read the scripture that they did capital punishment differently. They would stone people to death, right? It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. That was capital. That was how they did capital punishment. Crucifixion was just way too gruesome. But the Romans, crucifixion was a Roman thing. Now, it's interesting that not that some of the Romans didn't have a problem with Jesus, but the reality is he wasn't breaking any of their laws. Even when they brought Jesus before Pilate, Pilate says, I can't find any guilt in him. He hasn't broken any laws. If you go a little earlier, before he goes before Pilate, you'll see that Jesus was arrested. The Jewish leaders, religious leaders, now, catch this. It was the Jewish people in Jerusalem. It wasn't Jewish people everywhere. The Jewish people in Jerusalem, and those leaders, they had issue with Jesus. And so they finally had him arrested. They were working in conjunction with the Roman rule at the time. And the Jewish leaders, of course, didn't want to be responsible for the death of Jesus, though they schemed behind the scenes of how they could have him killed. And you thought the corruption of politics was only today. It's nothing new, honey. In fact, you will find that when they arrested Jesus, it says that they took him to the high priest's home, Caiaphas. Took him to the high priest's home, and what they did is they held an illegal trial. Because a legal trial could never take place in a private home. And you couldn't try anybody at night. It had to be done during the day, and it had to be done where witnesses were available. They seize him at night. They take him to a private home. And they start their trial, their initial trial. It was totally, completely illegal. It was Jewish misinformation. Rome wasn't innocent. You see, it was an interesting thing that went on. Rome didn't find him guilty. The Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, the leadership of the Jewish people had issue with him. They finally brought him in at a proper time and quizzed him if he was really the Son of God. He didn't really say anything before them. It records only that he said, "Well, you say that I am." And they heard enough, they were upset. And they send them over to Pilate. You see, the Jewish Sanhedrin could not kill Jesus without Jewish people in Jerusalem getting in an uproar against them because Jesus did all these good things. Not everybody believed in him. But you see, he broke no law where they could stone him because they didn't use crucifixion. And so in conjunction with Pilate and in conjunction with the working behind the scenes to cause a crowd to speak out against Jesus before Pilate, when Pilate washed his hands and said, listen, I'm not guilty of this. I didn't find any wrong in him. But yet, nevertheless, because of the uproar, he wanted to keep peace in his city because he was already having trouble and he wasn't having a great reputation with his those he was subordinate to in the layers of leadership in Rome. And so he did what the crowd wanted, turned Jesus over to be crucified. So the Sanhedrin's looking pretty good right now in their mind. Jesus is going to die, and he's going to die a Roman death. And it will look like the Romans did this. And we can stay in charge, and the people, the Jewish people, will not get upset with us because some of them believed he was the Messiah. Well, things turn around. And Pilate, he puts this sign over the top of Jesus that says, Jesus, the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Do you know what that sign was? They did that over everybody who was crucified. It stated their crime. The leadership of Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they said, please don't put the sign up. Pilate didn't listen to them. You see, Pilate found no guilt in Jesus. But because of unrest, he went through with it. The Sanhedrin was wanting to get rid of Jesus because they didn't want any trouble and they wanted to stay in charge. And people were believing in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, who did come for them. To reveal to them the kindness of God into their broken life. The religious leaders were threatened by it. They didn't like it. They were losing their place. They were losing their favor. They were losing their influence. And corruption took hold in their heart. And so Jesus kind of finds himself a man without a country. The Romans weren't going to defend him. And the Jews in Jerusalem were condemning him, but wanted to look like the Romans did it. And the Romans said, we find him innocent, so we'll put blasphemy over his head because you think he blasphemed your God by saying he was the King of the Jews. And they put Jesus of the Nazarene because Jesus of Nazareth, you have to remember, do you remember when Nathanael was going to be introduced to Jesus? Said, we think we found the Messiah. Come and see him. He's from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can anything good come from Nazareth? It was another insult. It's like, here's the King of the Jews, and he comes from Nazareth, a place where it would be an unlikely place that any good thing, any good person would come from there. You maybe have a city like that in your mind. Can anything good come out of that town? That's how Nazareth was in their mind. So here's Jesus. He committed no crime. And this good man, don't be offended by that term. Jesus said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. The good teacher, the rabbi, who was the Son of God, found his way to a cross. Now I want you to know that though he was condemned and he went through illegal processes and you had two political groups coming together, but they couldn't agree and they didn't care for each other, and Jesus was in the middle. I want you to know that the Romans didn't take his life, and Jerusalem didn't take his life. He laid it down for you. And it didn't matter that he was a man without a country, because he has a kingdom. The kingdom of God that will never end. Always was, is, always will be. The king of that kingdom came and laid down his life for you. He died like a criminal, though he was innocent. And you and I should die like a criminal in eternal judgment. And yet through faith in Jesus Christ, he pays for our sin. And the only way to go through the Father in heaven, in John 14 it says, is through Jesus Christ. That cross, he made a way for you and I to be restored to God and not be a slave to sin. He took the position of a slave. And he died and endured. This morning, actually it was in the middle of the night, I said, Jesus, you went through with it. You went through with it. You did it. Pastor Isaac read from the scripture, Lord, if you could take this, Father, if you could take this cup from me, nevertheless, your will. Jesus followed through, and it's why he said from that cross, it is finished. It's been done for you. If you will believe in him, you will be saved. It is why we preach Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jews, and it's foolishness to the Gentiles. But for those who believe, it is salvation. This is what Jesus has done for you. I don't care what preacher, what priest, what well-meaning person, or what critical person of the gospel, I want you to know that what I told you this morning is the true Jesus of the pages of history. And the character and the nature of God to work on your behalf. Won't you stand with me? Romans chapter 10, verse 10 says this. I want you to listen to this, because this is for us. It's for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, the scripture verse is for you. You better listen. Go ahead. The scripture verse is for you. You better listen. All right. Here it is. Now, listen. For with the heart, one believes. You know what it is to believe, right? Something or someone. You down in here, you believe it. For with the heart one believes and is justified. In other words, you and I are guilty, but Jesus came and died in our place, therefore our sins removed, and we are now justified in the sight of God to have a relationship with him. It's been restored, not lost because of sin. It's in the heart you believe. And that belief in Jesus is what justifies us. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. A confession from a heart that really believes. It's not just saying the words, Jesus is Lord, and then you go about your life. No, he's our master. We go from being slaves to sin to slaves to right things, right living, righteousness in Christ.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.